The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and the last time West Virginia put two good performances in a row, it was January. And as I'm recording this right now, it's March. And so that's not good. If you aren't able to put two good games together for a month and a half, that's not a great sign for your postseason opportunities. And Ross Hodges talked about running out of opportunities. And I would say once West Virginia lost at home to Utah, that was the end of the opportunities. And really, Joe Lunardi and everybody in that locker room and the coaching staff should believe that West Virginia had more opportunities after the Utah game. And while technically true, and again, I don't fault them, they should do that, they have lost 4 out of 5. And West Virginia loses a road game. Road games are always difficult. West Virginia loses to the other basement team besides Utah, the Kansas State Wildcats, in Manhattan, 65-63, not as close as 65-63. The first half was gross, and yet West Virginia was winning. And West Virginia was up 4 with 18 and a half minutes left in the second half. And then Kansas State, who is now, they have now won 3 games in the Big 12, and 3 games in the year of our Lord 2026. But prior to tonight, they had won 2 games in 2026, and they were without their leading scorer, P.J. Haggerty. Kansas State proceeded to reel off 21 points in a row. And so West Virginia went from up 4 to down 17. And that's rough. That is, yeah, there's not a way to talk around that. That is when you give up a 21-0 run to anybody, that's rough. Little more understanding when it happens to an Arizona at Arizona or at an Iowa State. At Kansas State, in a game where Kansas State interim coach, the let's go guy, is running the show. You don't have your leading scorer. Not a ton to play for. It was their last home game. I think they have seniors. They're running out of time too. But not a ton to play for. Not the most energetic crowd. And they reel off 21 straight. And West Virginia goes on an 8-minute scoring drought. And Kansas State was up 18 with 8 minutes to play. And then Ross Hodge started pressing, and Kansas State is not very good at basketball. And West Virginia was able to cut it to 3 multiple times, Kansas State multiple times, giving West Virginia a chance to cut the lead even closer or tie the game. And turnovers, missed shots, West Virginia wasn't able to. And they lose their last road game of the regular season. And a lot of familiar things as far as what when West Virginia has been bad consistently, these things have shown up when West Virginia hasn't been their best or looked their best. Honor Huff and Trayson Eaglestaff shot 6 of 23 from the field tonight. And they were combined 3 of 14 from 3. And one of those 3s was when the game was out of reach. It was the most garbage 3. Excuse me. It wasn't a garbage 3. Garbage time 3. Because West Virginia was down 5 with under 10 seconds left. Honor Huff's first half, that's the most passive I've seen that man be on a basketball court in a first half. It's not the first half of the season where Honor Huff hasn't made a field goal. There's been halves, multiple halves, where Honor Huff has been held without a basket. But he tried. In those other games, he was looking for his shot. The shot just wasn't going in. Honor Huff took 1-3 in the first 4 minutes of the game, which the game started, neither team could score. Like, it was 4-3 at the first TV timeout. Brutal. But Honor Huff, passive. How many times have we seen passive Honor Huff? We've seen guarded Honor Huff. And Kansas State, the stats say, not great at defense. And yet, they were able, in both times playing West Virginia this season, to keep West Virginia limited on offense. That's not great. Harlan Obioha did not score a point. That's the 4th game this season that Harlan Obioha failed to score a point. He started every game, and his role is not a scorer, but he was not good tonight, and he played against his former teammate, McGriff, and that's the matchup I was looking forward to, and I would say that McGriff won that matchup. In the head-to-head, that was a big win for McGriff. McGriff was really good tonight, and Harlan Obioha was not good. Foul trouble, couldn't stay in the game. Not great. Brendan Laurier didn't score in the first half. This first half, where West Virginia finished the first half with more points than Kansas State, the only points scored were from DJ Thomas, Chance Moore, bench guys, and Eaglestaff. 4 of the 5 starters, all seniors, all guys. That day, the run is over. In a few weeks, their college career of basketball will be done. And in the 30th game of the season, 4 of the 5 starters didn't score in the first half. Why would that happen? West Virginia shot 9 of 16 from the free throw line. We've seen that plenty of times. And in a close game, making a few more free throws, making the front end of a 1-on-1, those are things that could help the cause. ESPN Plus went full ESPN Plus. That has nothing to do with what was happening on the court. This time, I got to watch all of the basketball that happened. I did miss a turnover. That West Virginia had. We'll get the turnovers in a second. But you ever get a short in the aux cord in the car and the audio keeps cutting in and out? That happened in the second half consistently for this game. I wish somebody would have unplugged it all and plugged it back in during a commercial break. it stayed bad. It added, you know, it added to the full ESPN Plus experience. You've got in your head what an ESPN Plus broadcast is going to be like. It met my expectations. And as I mentioned in the last episode, West Virginia has met my expectations this season. West Virginia had 13 turnovers. That was less than Kansas State. But the turnovers, the kinds of turnovers that were happening tonight in the 30th game, when this team still has an opportunity to finish with a winning record in Big 12 play, 5-second call. It's not, Kansas State was not putting on, they were not doing a press Virginia pressure. They were doing full court pressure. I think, was it full? No. I think it was a baseline out of bounds play. 5-second call. No, that's right. They were not pressing. They had it on their side of the court. 5-second call. That is really big. And then the one play I didn't get to watch was when Brendan Laurent messed up taking the ball out. I believe it was off a made basket. He stepped onto the court before passing the ball or just did a violation, turnover, ball back to Kansas State. And there was a play early in the second half during that 21-0 run where somebody ricocheted the ball for Kansas State. The ball felt like it was going in slow motion in the backcourt. And not only did West Virginia have the angle to get the loose ball, but they had a substantial advantage. And all these guys, this isn't like the Canadian from last year in a foot race with a guy that's more athletic than him. This is all athletic guys on the court and an athletic guy with the angle having the opportunity to get the ball back. And that guy got, for West Virginia, got out-hustled by the Kansas State guy. That was very concerning. And Ross Hodge talked about it after the game. That encapsulized what he saw in that stretch of play. I'd agree, brother. That was a rough look. You watch the first 32 minutes of that game, and you don't know records. You're just watching the guys play basketball. And I ask you, which team looked like they've checked out for the season? What would that person say? And you have your answer in your head. Do you feel good about that answer? That's the concerning thing about this performance. Watching this team all season, very rarely was I thinking about effort, wondering if the guys were maxing out effort or playing with enough effort. And in game 30, it's the first time I thought it. Like, are these guys going for it in that hustle play that West Virginia got beat out on? And other things, and just lack of focus, lots of hot potato on offense, Honor Huff being passive in the first half. Body language things, effort things, worst I've seen. And it's not great when you're seeing that in game 30. I get it. It's a road game. Road games are hard. But these are not guys who haven't played college basketball. Yes, all these guys first go round in Big 12 play. And the travel involved and the level of play, and this is new for everybody. But these guys, they play 6 seniors. There's 8 guys in the rotation, 9 including Morris. He hit the floor in the second half to try to find some kind of spark. 6 seniors play in the rotation. And when you have 6 guys with that many reps and you're wondering about effort late in the season, outside looking in, they know better than me, but outside looking in, a group with this much college experience, knowing that that is finite and it's going to end soon, you watch that game and you don't see a sense of urgency. And you can not be the most talented team, but have a sense of urgency. And I don't have to have a sense of urgency. I let's be clear. I had zero nerves in this game. Had nerves watching the BYU game. One of these guys to get a win. They got the win. Did not have any anxiety about this game at any point. But they should have anxiety. And if they're pressing and trying too hard, still not a great look, but you can understand that better. And you can just chalk it up to, all right, not as talented as what they need to be. And that still may be the case. But that goes down smoother than you're watching and saying, ooh, effort. What are they trying really hard? Not great for the 30th game of the season. They got one more to go. The positive thing I'm going to say tonight, and I've said it on multiple episodes this season, but in this idea that time's running out, I'm going to miss the Chance Moore experience. I have enjoyed Chance Moore doing Chance Moore things. Tonight, at the rim, the 7'2" guy attempts a shot, and 6'6" Chance Moore meets him at the rim, blocks the shot. Chance Moore is finishing the season as the most consistent rebounder for this team, and he's 6'6". And Chance Moore is finishing the season as arguably the best rim protector for this Mountaineer team, and he's 6'6". And Chance Moore is finishing this season for the Mountaineers as the most consistent player on offense for this team. And that's wild to say, because he's got one move. He's got one move. And it's, we know what the move is. Dribble with the left hand. Finish at the rim. And he is finishing the season as the most consistent player on offense. I enjoy the Chance Moore experience from the jump. Enjoyed what Chance Moore was putting down. And he has delivered here late in the season. And he's doing this, being the most consistent player on offense and having one move. When he shoots the ball, and he made a three tonight, and he made some free throws. He did have a trip where he made 2 of 2. He's shooting the ball with one hand behind the ball and one hand not on the side. The other hand is in front of the ball. He's borderline blocking his shot. His shooting motion looks like he's blocking his own shot. And he's the most consistent player on offense finishing the season. It's wild. It's memorable. Shout out to Chance Moore. He is up there for me. He's in the threshold. And I had to think about this. There are other guys who have been Mountaineers for one season that you can point to and remember fondly. And that's a different list. The list I'm going to give you, my Mount Rushmore of bench players I'm going to fondly remember for their one season at WVU, Chance Moore firmly in that group. The leader, the George Washington of this group, is Teddy Allen. Freshman Teddy Allen, last season of Press Virginia, freshman. I enjoyed the Teddy Buckins experience. Wild personality. As a comet, he entered the Mountaineer stratosphere, left it in one season. Chance Moore is joining Teddy Allen, Joe Toussaint, and Ed Andre 3000 in the bench player I'm going to finally remember for one season at WVU, Mount Rushmore. If I'm forgetting somebody, send me an email or send me a text. Send me something in the Discord. Just send something.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket.
The last game for WVU is at home. Friday night is senior night. That's a rare bird. It's usually a weekend game, but it's Friday this year. 8 p.m. CBS Sports Network. West Virginia will finish the regular season playing the Central Florida Knights. And Central Florida lost at home in overtime to Oklahoma State. Both teams in the hundreds. Both teams scored over 100 points. That's wild. West Virginia still, now as I'm recording, West Virginia is back in the bottom half of the Big 12 standings. They had the opportunity to finish as high as seventh in the Big 12 standings. West Virginia lost to both basement teams. They lost to Baylor. They lost to teams below them. And yet they can finish in one of the toughest conferences in Division I basketball. They could finish not only in the top half, but seventh if they win senior night against Central Florida. They can also finish as low as 10th. So as a reminder, 7th or 8th gets you a bye in the Big 12 tournament. 9th or 10th, you're playing game the first day of the Big 12 tournament. No bye. I don't know how much that matters for WVU. The record and the computer, when you look at the 2025-2026 season, the seedings are going to be the seedings. And that's how you can remember, besides record, what kind of season it was for WVU. And so they're playing for being in the top half of one of the best conferences in the country. That is, will you hang a banner for that? Probably not. That's not banner worthy. But it's nice to look at. It's nice to look at. It's not on a banner. It's when you're Googling, all right, what happened in Ross Hodges' first season? Can WVU finish the regular season with a win and possibly finish in the top half of the Big 12 standings? We'll find out. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms. Just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Overcast Podcast, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2025-2026 season. They have 17 wins and they have 13 losses.